Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we'll look at the three remaining prophetic chapters in the book of Daniel. We looked at chapter 2 last week. Today we'll look at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel, like Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream which tells us of the Gentile powers that come on the world scene. We'll also look at Daniel chapters 9 and 11 today. In these chapters, we'll see coming into focus the demonic dictator that will be the major character in the seven-year tribulation period. I'm referring to the Antichrist. But first, we must begin our study in Daniel chapter 7.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Go to chapter 7 real quickly. Chapter 7, Daniel, remember, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8. In chapter 7, Daniel has a dream, a similar content dream, but not the same images. He sees four beasts, verse 3, come up out of the sea. Now, in this context, and the sea is basically the Gentile world. You'll remember in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, they saw the beast, that's the one of the names, 27 names for the Antichrist, come up out of the sea. And then he lays it out here. Here are the four beasts he saw. The first, verse 4, the first was like a lion with eagle's wings. That's the emblem of Babylon. Today, at the Ishtar Gate, the city of Babylon, on the shores of the Euphrates River, 58 miles out of downtown Baghdad, there are two winged lions, gold-winged lions, at the entrance to the literal, original city of Babylon. So he's talking about the Babylonian Empire. Notice what he says here in verse 5, and another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on its side, and it had three ribs in its mouth. By the way, bear does not represent Russia any place in Scripture, so get that out of your mind. This bear is laying on his side with three ribs in his mouth. What did I tell you about the Gentile world powers? The Egyptian world power, that was the first one. Assyrian world power, the second one. Babylonian world power, the third one. In this mouth of this bear. This is the Medo-Persian Empire that's going to come into existence. Look here at verse 6. And after this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon it the back of four wings of a fowl. And the beast also had four heads. Well, the leopard, not the fastest animal in the world. The cheetah, I believe, is probably the fastest. But the leopard is next fastest animal on the earth. But you put four wings on that leopard, he's going to move out, man. What's this talking about? It's talking about the kingdom that came to power quicker than any other kingdom. In 11 years, Alexander the Great put together a ragtag military operation. He was 21 years old. 11 years, he conquers the known world. 32 years of age, he walks into Babylon and he says, I'm the leader of this world, all of the world. And he sets up the Grecian Empire. But at 32, he died of syphilis and a drunkard. And his kingdom was divided into four parts. It's talking about the Grecian Empire here. Notice what the next one is, verse 7. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Well, that's an interesting beast. An awesome beast. Teeth that can devour everything. But it has 10 horns. Keep that in mind. Look at the next verse. Verse 8. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. The little horn coming out of the 10 horns. How do you interpret that, DeYoung? That's not the Bible interpreted. The angel Gabriel appears to Daniel and says, here's what this means. Go to verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. Okay, now we started with the Babylonian, so Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Roman Empire. It's talking about the Roman Empire, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. I want you to know something. When you look at the whole earth, that Roman Empire has never controlled the whole earth. It controlled the Mediterranean area. It controlled a lot of geography, but it never controlled the whole earth. That's what the ten horns are about. Look at verse 24. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High God. And so we see the Gentile world powers coming into existence. And from that we then see the little horn is one of 27 names for the leader of that last kingdom, that revived Roman Empire, that which shall come to pass, not completed. The revived Roman Empire will come into existence. Do you realize that since the fall of the Roman Empire, 476 AD, there has been a continual effort to revive that Roman Empire? I'm not going to trace all of history. Let me just go to the early 1800s when Napoleon went to Rome and said, "I am the Roman Emperor. I am the ruler of this world." That wasn't the case. Late 1800s, Bismarck of Germany, the tough leader, had a prime minister named Wilhelm, and he named him Kaiser Wilhelm, Caesar. He wasn't the leader. 1921, Mussolini went into Rome, claimed that he was the Roman leader. He was going to establish the Roman Empire. In 15 years, he controlled everything from Rome to Ethiopia. 1936, Adolf Hitler said, "Mussolini has revived the Roman Empire." Wasn't the case. And throughout all of history, men have been trying to revive the Roman Empire. March the 25th, 1957, six European leaders met in Rome. They signed the Treaty of Rome, which established the European Common Market. That has evolved over the years. And remember, I told you what was said by Hillary Clinton, the most historic event in 50 years. She was referring to November the 3rd last year, when the Lisbon Treaty was ratified by 27 member states of the European Union. And on the 19th, they elected leaders of these 27 states, a president and a chief of foreign policy. President, his name is Van Rompuy. He was the prime minister of Belgium. Chief of foreign policy, Baroness Catherine Ashton from Great Britain. When President Sarkozy of France was involved, he brought together 17 Mediterranean states. These 17 states, it's 16 Islamic states and one Jewish state, Israel, they'll come together and they will have 44 different states. You said, "Well, what about the ten horns?" That constitution they ratified, or the treaty, same as the constitution, calls for them to divide into regions. They have the Committee on Regions. Great Britain has already been divided into three parts. When Gordon Brown was prime minister, he called Brussels, Belgium. "What's the deal? I don't see Great Britain on the European map." "Because we divided you into three of the different regions." And they set up 10 regions because they can't control 44 states. If you don't believe that, go read the Lisbon Treaty. It's on my website. Look at what it says about the Council of Regions. That's in the process of being put together. And out of this jailed political operation is going to come the Antichrist, this little horn. Go to chapter 9. In chapter 9, he talks about verses 24 to 27, a 490-year period of time that will be a special plan for the Jewish people, the special people, and a special city, the city of Jerusalem. Verse 27 refers to a seven-year period of time. And so now he says these Gentile world powers who come into existence with their leader, the Antichrist, when he comes into power, he's going to be a key player in the seven-year period of time. The seven-year period of time is when the Antichrist will be ruling over this known world. He will be the Gentile world leader that is ruling over this world. Chapter 7, notice what he's going to do. Verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice to cease." We'll come back to that in just a moment. That's the 7 years that we're talking about here in the tribulation. Go to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is an unbelievably prophetic passage of Scripture. It deals with five different personalities that Daniel is going to give to those readers of his prophecies, and he's going to tell about them and exactly what they're going to do before they ever come on the scene. Any critic of Daniel goes to chapter 11. How could he know about these men and what they were going to do before they ever arrived? Look at verse 2 just a moment. Verse 2. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings of Persia, and the fourth shall be richer than they all, and his strength, and through his riches he shall stir up Greece. You know who that was? King Ahasuerus of the book of Esther. Read chapter 1 of Esther. He was the fourth of the Persian kings. He was far richer than all the rest of them. 57 years before he came on the scene, Daniel writes about Ahasuerus. He's trying to give us authority upon which he speaks and says that he is inspired of the Holy Spirit of God. Breathed into him were these prophecies. Verse 3, and a mighty king shall stand. He shall rule, have great dominion, and do according to his will. That could describe any king, but the next verse really lays it out. And then when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and divided into four winds. Well, 200 years before he came on the scene, Alexander the Great was prophesied by the prophet Daniel. Man, he's 100%. Deuteronomy 18 says, if it's a prophet of God, he'll be 100% every time. So he's right on target. Verse 5, and the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes. Remember, it was divided into four parts, north, south, east, and west. There were only two of those parts that were major players, king of the north, king of the south. What's going to happen is they're going to form a coalition, and the king of the south is going to offer his daughter, it says right here in the text, to the king of the north. Wow. 300 years before it ever happened. Daniel wrote it down precisely. He was talking about Antiochus the Great. Who's going to come to power? You get to verse 21, he's talking about another ruler, Antiochus Epiphanes, the madman. As you read through the scriptures in chapter 11, you see this man, through flatteries, comes into Jerusalem, takes it over. He arrives, Kislev 25, December the 25th, 168 BC. He goes into the temple, he slaughters a pig on the altar, throws the innards of the pig on the altar. He desecrates the temple. It says in the text in verse 32, men will rise up to take him. That's the Maccabees. Matthias, Judas, Maccabee, all the Maccabee boys. They rose up and they ran Antiochus Epiphanes out of town. I'm cutting to the chase here so you understand. By the way, you know what day they ran him out of town? Kislev 25th, December the 25th, 165 BC. 3 years to the day later, they reconsecrated the temple. They found a flask of extra virgin olive oil, which is what you light the menorah with. They went to the seven-branch candelabra. They put the olive oil in there. They lighted a menorah. That was enough oil to light it for 1 day. Stayed lighted for 8 days. Thus, the Jewish holy day of Hanukkah, celebrated every year on the 25th day of December, which is where we get Christmas Day from. But that's four. What was it? It was Ahasuerus, Alexander the Great, Antiochus the Great, Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes was foretold 360 years before the fact.
What an amazing prophetic chapter in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Before the fact, Daniel foretells of four historic personalities before they ever come on the scene. These fulfilled prophecies give us a basis to trust Daniel as he tells us of the next world leader, the Antichrist. But that study will have to wait until next week when we get back to our study of Daniel chapter 11. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our study in Daniel.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up until...